Well, hello everybody and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to the sound of my voice and wish you all peace and love and happiness. Wow, there's so much going on right now. Like there's so much running through my mind right now. I feel like I'm having a hard time trying to compartmentalize everything and kind of get it out in a clear and concise manner. So first of all, how's everybody doing? Hope everybody's having an incredible, wonderful week. Man, let me tell you something. This business that I'm involved in with our incredible brain food, man, this stuff just has me feeling like on cloud nine, let me tell you. It's giving me that energy boost. It's giving me that mental focus. And a little side effect of that is that I've begun working out. I just bought a new iPhone and an Apple Watch, actually. So with that, Apple is trying to push out all of their products that they can, and they've given me a free trial of the Apple Fitness Plus for like 3 months, and I've been trying that out, and that's been pretty amazing. You know, just getting up and moving around inside the house, not needing any equipment, you know, just basically using body weight and just moving. So just moving around has helped me feel incredibly well, and I kind of credit that or giving me that extra energy or that extra focus on the brain food. Like it's got me up and moving again, and that's really well. Speaking of Apple, they have done it again. They have come up with a product that people, you know, they look at images of it and they clown how it looks, and all these memes instantly come up comparing it to different everyday household things. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the AirPods. What are they? The AirPods Max Pro, the over-ear headphones that Apple has just finally released. This is their first foray into making actual over-ear headphones, you know, because they Apple did buy Beats. So The Beats by Dre product has actually been controlled by Apple for the last couple of years, but this is the first headphone they've come out that's actually theirs. So, $550 price tag for these wireless headphones, and let me just give them a shout out, man, because what they've done again is given the consumers a product that they didn't know that they wanted, that everybody thought was ridiculous, that nobody thought that anybody needed. But if you go on their website, the sales for these headphones are being pushed back for 12 to 14 weeks. So the headphones have sold out. You can't really get them till probably around February, maybe even March of next year. I mean, it's just crazy. Like $550 headphones. Like who knew we would get here? But the incredible thing that's going on right now is that all these the tech people on YouTube, you know how they get their models that they get to test and put through the paces and give their video reviews for everybody to kind of, you know, salivate over. They're all over the place. So every time I go to YouTube, I'm seeing somebody else with a brand new unboxing and first impressions of the AirPods Max. So shout out to Apple and really having their finger on the pulse of how commerce is kind of done now. Commerce is not done on TV with commercials anymore or radio ads. Like they're done on YouTube and on Instagram and on Twitter. Like they just get the most popular people that they can. They send them a product review model and they just let them do their thing. And that's like free advertisement, basically. But of course, low key, I want a pair. You know, I want to, after getting the AirPods Pro and hearing like that, the noise cancellation and hooking it up to my TV and listening to TV shows and movies through those things and that whole spatial audio thing that Apple has going on. Yeah, I really want to try them, but I can't see spending $550 for a pair of headphones. Like, good Lord, I'm not there yet. Something else I didn't know, that some of these engineers or these people that work on movies or like music and special product projects, they have headphones that cost like $3,000 and $4,000. So apparently to them, this $550 price tag for a pair of AirPods Max is nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. But man, just shout out to Apple for having products are having these ways that they control their products, and they give people things that people didn't know that they needed or wanted, and then they create this craze around that product, and then the products are, they're sold out. Like a lot of times when Apple first drops a product, you'll notice that people might talk about it, people might criticize them, they criticize the price and whatever, but the product ends up being sold out when it first drops. Like, you can't get your hands on it. So that's just part of that Apple innovation, that Apple creativity, man. And it's reflected in like their stock price, like getting in on Apple stock back in just a year ago, actually, you would have made a ton of money up until now, because, you know, it just keeps going up. Companies like Apple and like Tesla and like Amazon, the big ones, they're just innovative and they keep doing things that just gets people's attention. So shout out to them, and I'm really all about that now, because there's tons of regular people out there and they're coming up with their own products and they're coming up with their own business ideas. Something else too, 2020 has been the year of the entrepreneur. 2020, I believe, if there's anything good that can come out of this year, 2020 has been the year of an awakening, of people waking up to doing their own thing, like more than ever before. I mean, it was kind of out there beforehand, but you know, life was just kind of continuing on like as it was. But with this pandemic happening and everything being flipped upside down, people being forced to adapt, this has been the year of entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs are nothing more than people that solve problems. There's a problem that somebody has, a ton of people have, and somebody comes along with a solution and they get to market that solution as whatever product. So to me, this is the year of entrepreneurship. This is the year. And I think this is why also the people, quote unquote, that are in power, they don't want anything shut down, because they know that if people get a break, if people get time to like slow down and breathe and explore other things than just being like devoted to their job. You know, some people, they get devoted to their job. You're like, you're already working there 40 hours plus a week. When you go home, you're kind of obsessed with things that you can do at your job. When you're on your way to your job, you're thinking about how you're going to tailor and structure your day. When you're on your way home from your job, you're thinking about things that you could have done better, or something that you could have done different, or a team member that you could have pushed to realize their potential more. But it all boils down to you really being so focused and devoted to that job. And no matter what it is, people in restaurant businesses, they take that stuff home and they think about what can they've done. Even though they always say never take your work home with you, like that's impossible for us as humans to do. Like that's part of our lives. That's part of our daily lives. Like that's just something that not everybody can do. Not everybody can just walk out of the door at work and just leave it at work. So people get obsessed with that job and they can't think of anything else. But when the country slows down and people are allowed to take a break and breathe, they see that there's other ways that they can support themselves, or they start devoting more time to that side hustle that they've always wanted to do but never had the time. They begin to be able to focus on what they are or who they are as people, and things that they like and things that they don't like. And you know, maybe that job falls into that category of things that they don't like. So people that are in power, of course they don't want anything shut down or slowing down. I mean, outside of like money and businesses crumbling, the general public, or the general consensus, I believe, is to have people continue on doing what they're doing so they don't have time to look up and see a different way of living. And if one thing that this year has shown us is that we can't rely on old ways of doing things. Like the ways of parents doing things and grandparents doing things, that stuff no longer applies. Like we can't live by those standards anymore. And something else this year has shown us the failure of having a capitalistic society. There are people out there that really need help. There are citizens who have lost loved ones. Like their entire lives have been destroyed. They've lost loved ones. They've lost homes. They've lost their way of living. So that old capitalistic view, the old capitalistic way, the flaws of that system have really been highlighted in this year, I think. And I don't think there's any way of going back. Things are never going to go back to the way they were before. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, we see Airbnb had their IPO. We see DoorDash had their IPO, you know. It's funny, too. People are upset at when DoorDash's IPO, I think it was like last week sometime, but when their IPO came out, the original investors, they made millions, but people were like, well, what about the delivery drivers? I'm like, what do you mean, what about the delivery drivers? Like, this is the way of a capitalistic society. Like, you've got people that leverage other people's time and energy to make money. Like, to me, that's just the definition of a capitalistic society. So anyway, outside of all of that, being an entrepreneur is the thing to be in 2020. So I encourage everybody, if you have ever thought about looking at that home-based business or starting your own gig or creating your own product or that digital course, like, man, you have to do it. You have to take your own life and your own financial responsibility into your own hands. Like, this one thing that I've known is, or the one thing that has been shown to me really more than ever before in my life, is that relying on somebody else, whether it be your job, whether it be the government, whether it be the president or whatever, that is such a failed way of living, because you are always end up being a slave to that person or that system. So really excited to see what's going to happen coming up in future times with all of these people that have all of these ideas, and they're actually bringing their ideas to life. And that's exciting. And that's the innovation. And that's like what Apple has been doing, like, since the beginning. Like, it feels like every product and every decision that Apple has made, they've made it according to whatever they want to do. They're not listening to anybody else. And the rest of us just kind of follow along. We all end up buying their products anyway. People have households. Like, man, just me for an example. Like, I've got the iPad. My kid has an iPad. I've got a MacBook. We've got the HomePod. We've got the phone. I've got the watch. My wife has a pair of the first, like, wireless Beats 3 or whatever. Like, we are a family of Apple products. I've got an Apple TV. Shout out to that Apple Fitness Plus 2, by the way. I know I mentioned it earlier, but if anybody has an Apple TV, I would suggest checking it out, especially for people who miss that whole working out thing. Like, I believe it's a really, really great idea to, you know, have that. And I know Apple's not the first that's had, like, classes coming into your home, but because I'm into the Apple ecosystem, this is the first time that I've been able to experience it, because of them Peloton bikes. I can't get with that. That's way too expensive. But they also have the classes that you can do from your bike, and, you know, you're interacting with the screen or your trainer or whatever. So this is the first time that I've experienced it, and it was really, really good, especially for somebody who hasn't worked out or really done too much physical activity in the last several months. This was really good. And you know, I've been working on a couple of days doing it, so I'm starting to get obsessed with filling in these exercise rings on my Apple Watch. So anybody's got an Apple TV, I would suggest give it a try. It's really, really good. And that's kind of what I want to talk about here in this particular podcast, is choices and decisions and following, marching to the beat of your own drum, and how exciting that can be. So let me take a quick break, have a couple of commercials, pay off a couple of our sponsors, if that's even still a thing that I'm doing. But I'll be right back, and I hope to have you guys sticking around with me. Hey everybody, DeCourcy Williams here, and I have a quick question for you. Are you interested in wine? Do you enjoy drinking a glass every now and again? Have you ever gone to the grocery store and just been overwhelmed with the amount of selections that you can choose from? Well, I think I may have a solution for you. Let me introduce you to Wine Ambassador. Wine Ambassador's vision is to become the number one wine club in the world through word of mouth marketing. If you click on the link in the show notes description, you'll be taken to an area where you can learn a little bit more about this amazing company.
we have different ways that you can be a part of this company and you can earn wine for free. And on top of that, you can earn a pretty sizable income as well. So if you're interested in turning your love of wine into a profitable business, you can contact me on Instagram under Corsi the Wine Lover, or just send me a message here on the podcast. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions for you. Thank you very much.
All right, well, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And today, I want to talk about choices that we make and a couple of revelations that I have had. Let me first say, man, thank God for personal development. Thank God just for the ability to be able to learn from yesterday and try to improve yourself today, because it's so much that I'm learning, even about myself, even like all the things that I've been through. The personal development journey is never ending. So let me tell you guys something else. I am in the middle of, well, not reading, but listening to another book called Psycho Cybernetics. I'm still listening to that. I've got another book that I can't wait to read. It's called Prosperity Consciousness by Frederick Learman. That's going to be my next thing. And then, of course, after that, I'm going to be listening to A Promised Land by Barack Obama. But I'm just grateful for the ability to be able to, you know, study things that have gone on in the past and learn from them. And that might be a small thing to some people, but to me, that's huge, because that's the only way that we as people grow, is by learning from our past mistakes, number one, and number two, acknowledging them and making a better or a different decision the next day. So talking about choices, it's a really funny how this idea came about. I was watching The Mandalorian with my wife, and that show is really, really good, by the way. I feel like they've taken The Mandalorian and they've tried to make up for like the last three movies. Like The Force Awakens was really good, but the next two, I can't even remember the name, The Rise of Skywalker and something else, but to me, they weren't that good. And I feel like The Mandalorian, I feel like Rogue One, first of all, kind of made up for that. And then just this whole The Mandalorian story on Disney Plus is just like incredibly making up for all of the stuff that we feel like we missed out for the last trilogy. So anyway, watching The Mandalorian, and I don't want to give too much away, but I started to go back and look at the movies, the first set of movies. And me and my wife started talking about like the origins of Darth Vader. And I remember when I was a little kid, when I first saw Darth Vader on the screen, I just thought he was just like this. He was like the epitome of badass. Like, if you remember I'm aging myself here, but if you remember A New Hope, that very first scene where the ship is being attacked and the rebels are lining up in that hallway and they've got their guns drawn, and then all of a sudden, like, there's this door that opens up and stormtroopers come out and, you know, they have this little firefight or whatever. And then a couple of scenes later, you just see, like, Darth Vader come walking through the smoke with his cape, and he's got his kind of his hands on his hips, and he's looking around at all of his stormtroopers and all the rebel troopers that have died laying on the ground. When I was a little kid and I saw that, man, I was like, holy crap, this is the baddest guy I have ever seen in my life. Like, the whole breed, like, his suit was just, like, black and shiny, and he had the black cape and the hood, the helmet he had on, and the breathing. Like, to me, Darth Vader was just the man, right? So then we move along and we get to these, the prequel trilogies, where it shows Anakin as a little kid and his journey to becoming Darth Vader. And then it hit me that Darth Vader was not really this cool guy, you know, to be looked up to or to be emulated or whatever. He was really a sad, pathetic character. Like, he was nowhere near the badass that I thought he was. Now, his powers, maybe, yeah, he was strong. He could fight. He was very good at killing other people. But, you know, just his overall thing, he was really sad and really pathetic. So, and it was really funny, too, because I went back and basically the movies, he said, you know, all the movies are on Disney Plus. So I go and pick out movies and just show some scenes with Vader in them. just to kind of, you know, show my wife just where he kind of came from. And we got to watching episode 3, what was it, The Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin finally gives in and he actually converts into Vader and he starts killing people. And man, that the last half hour of that movie, or whenever Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi start fighting, it's like, that was really, really intense for me. Because that's when we finally see him just completely losing his mind. Like, the woman that he claimed that he loved and he was having a baby with, like, Anakin actually chokes her out. Like, almost to the point where he almost killed her. And then he fights Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan has been like his companion all these years, been like a brother, been like a mentor, been like a father figure to him. And he just, he's really trying to kill him. And then, you know, he gets to the end and Obi-Wan wins, and he's just laying on the ground screaming and crying. Obi-Wan cuts off his legs and one of his arms, and he's like on the ground crying and screaming right in front of this lava pit. You just see him just like, his eyes are yellow, he's like got spittle coming out of his mouth, and he just screams, "I hate you," to Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's just kind of standing there looking at him. And Obi-Wan is crying, and he's like, "You know, you were my brother, Anakin, I loved you." It was just like, the choices that Anakin made is what led him to that path of insanity. And unfortunately, it feels like, and I draw a lot of comparisons with that to like real life, like the whole Senator Palpatine thing, where he was getting his hands into the Senate and he was turning everything around and he was manipulating people like from the background, and people didn't even know they were being manipulated. And he was giving them, he was basically ruling people through fear and through misinformation. And to me, that's exactly what's going on like in the world now. Like, you've got, and I hate to bring it to politics, but you've got people that follow Donald Trump, and no matter what he says, no matter what he does, no matter what information comes out about this guy, people are blinded to the fact that Donald Trump is not a good person. I'm sorry, Donald Trump is not a person for the people. Donald Trump is a person for himself, and he has somehow conned other people into believing that he is for the people. I mean, we've had, since the election, and since his appeals for overturning the elections have been basically thrown out by the Supreme Court and any other court that he approaches, like, he's been absent. He hasn't been doing, like, press briefings. Like, he hasn't been, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. Like, the numbers of people dying on a daily basis are going up, and he's just absent. Hasn't been saying anything except on Twitter about, we will win the election, we will come through. Like, even some of his Republican buddies are like, okay, guy, it's time to give it up. Like, it's time to start accepting the fact Joe Biden did win. There's been no evidence of any widespread voter fraud or millions of dead people voting or millions of illegals voting or whatever he was trying to say. But he's still got these people that choose to align themselves with him and believe that he's going to pull this out and win, and believe that there was all of this voter fraud going on, and we still are dealing with Russian operatives trying to hack important systems in this country, and he has said nothing. The like I said, the death rate is climbing, and he has said nothing. Oh, I'm sorry. He has been talking about rolling back regulations about water flow from shower heads, because that's very important. Being able, In his mind, you turn on the shower and the shower just drips. I don't know what showers he's taking, but to me, my shower runs fine. It's okay. I can take a shower from it. Water is flowing out of my shower head. So apparently he's rolled back some regulations to allow more than, I believe it's 2 pounds of water to come out of a shower head per minute. It was some regulation I think Obama had put in place, or maybe even before Obama it was put in place. You know, conserve water to save water. You know, resources on this planet are finite. We don't just have an inexhaustible source of water on this planet. So he's kind of rolled that back because that's important to him. But, you know, people keep dying from this pandemic. Front workers, hospital workers, I don't think they're still having problems getting their PPE that they need. But there's some people that's in desperate need in this country, like for livelihood, for food, for their family. But shower heads and how much water they can put out per minute is, you know, very, very important topic for President of the United States to be focused on. But anyway, I don't want to get too much into that. But there are still people that choose to align themselves with that. And going back and looking at, and it was Star Wars Episode 3, and just seeing Senator Palpatine just work his magic until it was too late. Until he had gotten, you know, the Jedi were like the good guys. They were like the guardians of peace and order. By the time the Jedi or anybody else realized that Senator Palpatine was the one that was manipulating this whole thing, like it was too late. Like they started killing off Jedi. Anakin had really converted into Vader and he had just completely lost his mind. Another scene from that movie, kind of when Obi-Wan and Anakin were fighting, there was kind of a pause in their battle and they had a little dialogue. And it kind of started with Obi-Wan saying, I failed you, Anakin, kind of like trying to apologize, saying like, yeah, I don't know what I did, but I failed you. And Anakin was just like, you know, I should have known that the Jedi were the evil guys. They were trying to take power. They wanted all the power for themselves. And Obi-Wan replies by saying, Anakin, Senator Palpatine is evil. And then Anakin, in his rage and his fury, he responds by saying, from my point of view, the Jedi are evil. And that kind of fuels the entire movie series with Anakin's eventual, when he redeems himself in Return of the Jedi, when he finally turns on Palpatine. But it got me to thinking, man, like, he made a choice to side with Emperor Palpatine. And then from then on, no matter what he had to do, he hunted down Jedi. He killed little kids, actually. I think that's one scene in the movie that really gets kind of glossed over. Like, he walked into a room of young kids. They probably looked like 11, 12, maybe even younger, maybe 7, 8, or 9 years old. And, you know, they're hiding. But when they see Anakin come through the door, they come out from hiding and because, you know, they recognize him. And they're like, Master Anakin, they're everywhere. What are we going to do? And he just looks down at them. And then you just see him ignite his lightsaber. And, you know, that scene. I mean, I guess they couldn't really show him, you know, striking down young children. But he made a horrible, horrible choice. And the whole reason for the arc in the movie was to give him that chance of redemption in Return of the Jedi. So I believe that nobody is beyond saving. Us as human beings, when the choices that we make that shape our future, they always have like a point where you can come back from. They always have like that something that you can get back to your former self. But in that scene where they're screaming and hollering at each other, that's like the whole thing to me is making a choice. And let me talk to myself here a little bit. I noticed something that has kind of held me back all of these years, and I don't think you would think I realized I was doing it. I was a victim of analysis paralysis. And if you're not familiar with that is, that's somebody that looks at a situation and wants to make a choice, but they're wanting to make the right choice. So they're stuck looking at both sides of the coin. They're stuck looking at, or I have been stuck trying to analyze all possible outcomes and seeing how it would work out best for me, or if something would work out horribly for me. And it would just eventually get to the point where a lot of big decisions that I should have made, I never end up making. And that kind of keeps me in, you know, a certain place, kind of a state of mediocrity. So I know for me and other people that are like me that suffer from it's kind of an affliction because it stops you from operating at your best self. It stops you from realizing all of your strengths and all of your potential because you don't take chances because you're stuck looking at all the potential outcomes. So what I would like for people to understand, though, is that our lives really boils down to the choices that we make and how we respond to the consequences from those choices. Now, the choice could either, it could either work in your favor or it could work against you. It doesn't really matter. I think what's really important is how we roll with it, how we adjust to it, how we move on after we've made a choice. But I know for a lot of people, just making a decision is like, a lot of people just need to start making decisions and stop worrying about if it's a good or a bad decision. There has been an idea that has said there's no such thing as a bad decision, because it all depends on your perspective, your energy, and how you stand up to the consequences of that decision. You can turn a bad decision into a good decision with your actions, with your energy, and with the way that you handle yourself afterwards. But just making a decision for a lot of people is a huge deal. And I've noticed that that's me. Being able to not worry about the outcomes, or worrying about the good or the bad, or how people are going to see me, or what people are going to say, and, you know, all kinds of stuff that creep into my mind. That for years has stopped me from just making, just simply making a decision. So I would encourage everybody. We're not Anakin Skywalker out here. We're not we're not at the hands of an Emperor Palpatine that's going to make decisions for us. We are all human beings and we have free will. We can make our own decisions. I would encourage everybody just to jump. This is the year of the entrepreneur. If you've got something that you want to do, if you've got an idea that you want to try, don't think of it as a good decision or a bad decision. Just make a decision and let your energy fuel you to, if it's a bad decision, make it into a good decision. Or retool, retweak your approach and come at it from a different way. I don't believe a lot of people, like in real life, we're not fighting, you know, the battle of good and evil. In our minds and our bodies, that fight is raging. It's alive and well. That's really who we're fighting. We're just fighting ourselves, in a sense. But that's a whole nother podcast. I can talk about that, too. But I would encourage everybody. It's decision time. Let's make decisions. And thank you very much for indulging me in my movie to real life reference. I mean, I gotta say, like, that's how I look at life. Like, a lot of movies, a lot of art, really, to me, has ties in real life. It's funny how, like, movies back from the 80s, maybe the 70s or the 80s, like, the technology that they had back then, like, there was some truth into some of the things that they had going on. I mean, think of Back to the Future, when they actually went ahead to 2015. Like, we don't have the hoverboard, we don't have the flying cars, but some of that stuff that we had was live and well. So it's funny to see how technology from old movies, how it manifests itself in real life. And I kind of draw that parallel between the struggles that movie characters have to, you know, things that people are going through in real life. Because that's what we're doing. So thank you guys very much. That's what I have for you today. In case you missed it, I encourage everybody that's in the same situation that I'm in, make a decision. Just make the decision. Don't worry about the future of it. Just live in the moment. Make the decision. And I believe that success and failure in life is determined by how we respond to the consequences of those decisions. So let your energy speak for itself. Go out and do your thing. This is the year of the entrepreneur. Don't forget, visit me on my various forms of social media. I'm on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover. You can also find my blog. It's 9w6e.com, otherwise known as Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures. I've got some stuff there that I'm doing, like the brain food is there, the wine of the month club is there, the Blue Scorpion, the Blue Scorpion serum that helps with your immune system and, you know, minor aches and pains. Have y'all ever heard of Blue Scorpion? It's like the most expensive liquid in the world. Like, they actually milk a scorpion And people use this, you know, as a supplement for, you know, various things. They use it on their face to get rid of wrinkles. Like, you can take it and it'll help with, like, minor pains. It help with your immune system. Like, it's incredible. So go visit my blog site. Don't forget that. You can find me on Facebook. Just, you know, DeCourcy Williams. And I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. Can you believe next week is Christmas already? I don't know how my... I don't know how my schedule is going to go for next week, considering next Friday is Christmas, right? Next Friday is the 25th. It is cold, by the way, where we live. I don't know where you guys live, but I'm in Northern Virginia. And it is in the 30s. Like, at night, it's like down to 27. I know that probably can't compare with some of the other areas. But, man, yeah. Next Friday, we're supposed to have some more snow. We got a little bit of snow, like, today. It's super cold. It's super windy. So I hope everybody's staying warm. Make sure you check on your family members and friends. And everybody, let's go out and have an incredible week. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. Thank you very much for joining me. And I will see you in the next one.